Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Big Blue Nation. It's time for Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now, here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Dude.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. Welcome to the Monday edition of Just the Cats. My name is Michael Bennett. If you'd like to give us a call, you can call us at 502-571-1080. Or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. Shannon the Dude is with me on this Monday. Kind of a slow. Well, I mean, I guess just because of the fact that UK didn't play this weekend on the football side, but it's kind of a slow weekend for me. How about with you, Shannon?
It was a good weekend. Yeah.
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 Well, tell me why.
Well, every weekend's good.
Okay, there you go. I thought there was something specific that happened that made it a good weekend.
Yeah. Whether there's football or not, you know. Went to KS Bar over the weekend. We did the Breeders' Cup giveaway. We gave away $2,500 in cash.
Wow.
And, I mean, you talk about a good promotion. I mean, people came in, picked their three horses. They didn't even have to put any money down to play. So you're playing with house money.
Yes.
And one guy came in on Friday and won $500, then came back on Saturday and won another $500. So he won $1,000.
Seriously?
He won $1,000. Just for hanging out at a restaurant / bar, eating some good food, drinking some good drinks, and watching some horse racing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly he took that money and paid for everybody's bill there, didn't he?
Oh, no. He said he was going to buy a round for the house. Everybody gets a water. I was like, man.
Oh, my God. That is something you would do.
Well, hey.
There you go. You just admitted it right there.
Yeah, but I didn't win. I couldn't win. I wasn't eligible.
It always feels like there are some people that have that knack to win. I've got a lady that I know really well, and it seems like there's always that Las Vegas thing. You know, you always have that you go and gamble for a night. And it's for charity or something. Quotation marks charity, and she always wins everything. And she'll sign her name up for something to win something. She wins that as well. It just feels like some people have that knack at winning.
Yeah, I do too, as long as there's no money on the line.
What do you mean?
I mean, I could sit here and say, okay, I think this horse is going to win.
Oh,
one
really?
Day I did that on Oaks Day.
Yes.
And I picked the winner of the first three races. And then I was like, you know what? I'm pretty good at this. I'm going to go put some money down. And then as soon as I put money down, horse came in last place. I was like, this is why I don't gamble right here. I could have won the first three races, and then as soon as I put money down, they never finish where I think they will. So that's why I don't gamble right there. That's the very reason.
I'll tell you right now, my uncle was this not like that. My uncle would win at racing, and he would call me. His name was Lou Bennett, funniest guy you'll ever meet in your life, just full of life. And he called me this one particular derby and said, okay, read me the names. So I start reading him all the names. He goes, okay, go back to the top, start again. He goes, stop right there. Doesn't even know the odds or anything. He says, that's the horse I want to win. Go put $100.
So based off of what? Just the name alone?
Based off the name alone. And he says, I want you to put $100 on it. And I'm like, you know what? First of all, my uncle lives in St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm never going to see this money again.
Yeah.
And here I am going to waste $100 of my own money on a horse. So I literally debated the entire day whether or not I was going to bet it. Finally, I said, forget it. I'll do it, and maybe one of these days he'll pay me back. I put the $100 on him. Thank goodness I did, because that horse's name was Charismatic.
Oh, wow.
Who won the Derby. And as soon as the Derby was over, he was calling me, did you bet it? Did you bet it? Where's my money? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm just now leaving the track.
Yeah, some people just have blind luck like that. I mean, Kentucky Joe picked the Derby horse winner.
Yeah.
Or the Oaks winner. And this one guy who was like I guess he's a handicapper, professional handicapper, said that horse has no chance. I'll retire if that horse wins. Well, guess what? Kentucky Joe's horse won. And
he had another
one over the weekend. He picked
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we should consult Kentucky Joe when it comes to horse. I'll readily admit it right now. I did not watch a single minute of the Breeders' Cup. Did you watch any? Well, yeah,
I did because I had to give away free money.
I will say, though, I watched the replay of the Breeders' Cup Classic. And can I say this? I mean, the camera work on that race was unbelievable to watch.
Yeah.
It's almost it was almost like a video game. We were so close to the horses on the backside. Did you see that?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, when they're running on the backside, they had a camera running along with it.
Yeah.
With the horses. I just thought it was really cool. I hadn't seen that before. Oh, so okay. I liked it. So was there a particular football game that kind of stuck out this weekend? Because, you know, you had a bunch of games that I was really excited about. First of all, yes, I was excited to see if Indiana is for real.
How about that, man?
Yeah.
Indiana.
1987, I believe it was, since the last time they beat Michigan.
Unbelievable. So is Harbaugh gone now or what?
I mean, that's what I was getting ready to ask you. Is this the start of the end for Jim Harbaugh?
I mean, maybe, but I mean, if you look at it as Michigan versus Indiana football, we would say, well, Michigan should dominate Indiana.
Definitely.
But on paper, Indiana was ranked higher than Michigan was.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Really, it wasn't an upset.
Yeah, I tell you what, Indiana might get into the top 10 this week. I haven't seen the rankings yet.
What I'm looking at right now does have them at number 10.
Okay, there you go. They're in the top 10. So
yeah.
First time
isn't
in
that
who
unbelievable?
Knows how long. That is unbelievable. Now, that makes me glad that we're not playing them anymore. But yeah, it's kind of amazing with Jim Harbaugh. He did really well at Stanford. He did really well for the 49ers. You think he would, the next step would be automatic. He would do extremely well at Michigan. But for some reason, it just hasn't turned out.
Yeah, sometimes coaches just have that disconnect at different levels for some reason. I mean, we've seen it in college. You know, great college coaches try to go pro, and it doesn't work out there. And then sometimes vice versa, it doesn't work out.
Right.
You know?
Well, for the most part, it never works out for a college coach going to the professional game. It doesn't work out for the most part in the NBA, although there's been a couple of coaches that have done well. And then it really hasn't, except with the exception of maybe Pete Carroll, that's done pretty well. Jim Harbaugh did pretty well going from college to the NFL. But most of the time, it doesn't work out. So I've always liked Jim Harbaugh. I think he's gotten a little strange since he's been, and maybe it's all the pressure being at Michigan with the khakis and all that kind of stuff, and where he buys those khakis. But I think the other big game was the Florida-Georgia game.
Absolutely. That was the one that was sort of a shocker for me. The fact that Florida just sort of, I guess they sort of manhandled Georgia, didn't they? I mean, they won big, 44-28.
Well, the crazy part was, it's like, oh my gosh, it wasn't even at the 5-minute mark when the game started. Florida was already down 14-0. You think, okay, Georgia's going to run away with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, it just took a total flip. Now, does this make you feel like there has been a change of power, a transition of power in the SEC East with Florida taking over Georgia?
I mean, yeah. I mean, certainly for this season, you have to say that. And there's no argument against that.
No.
I mean, Georgia now is, what, 4-2?
Yes.
Florida's only lost one game this season?
Correct.
So, yeah, I think Florida is the SEC East. I mean, they're the team to beat in the SEC East now, not Georgia.
I think
Florida.
So, too. Yeah, it's just I really think it's going to be a good game if it pans out to the SEC championship that is going to be between Alabama and Florida. We'll see at the end, but I think that'll be a good game. Of course, the other huge game was that night, and that was the 2-overtime win by Notre Dame. I did not know who I wanted to root for. I've never liked Notre Dame, and you know my feeling towards Clemson. I think both teams are highly overrated.
Yep.
They play in the weakest football conference in the country. Did you watch any of that ball game by chance?
No, I did see the celebration and how everybody was criticizing them
for the
fans running out on the field.
Yes.
Because of COVID. So,
yes.
That was really the big story other than the number one team getting beaten.
Exactly. So, was it fair that Notre Dame got criticized as much as they did? Should Notre Dame had said, listen, we can't celebrate, or you feel like they should have celebrated beating
the
number
one team? I feel like in that situation, you can say to fans, don't come on the field. But if all those fans just bum rush the field, what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Exactly.
You can't do anything.
So, I mean, at some point, I know everybody's going to blame the school, but at the same time, All those fans come rushing onto the field. If it happened at Kentucky, what are you going to do about it? Not a damn thing.
Well, let's just say, for instance, as a scenario, if we were not playing Alabama down in Birmingham or Tuscaloosa, if we're playing them in Lexington and we end up beating them, do you think it's okay for UK and all the fans and the student body that's there to rush the field to celebrate after beating the number one team in the country?
I don't think that it should be encouraged by anybody at Kentucky. I don't think you can do that. I mean, that's asking for criticism if you do that.
Hey, exactly.
But again, if it happened, it just happened naturally. What are you going to do about it?
What are you going
to do? You're going to have all your security guys, which don't match up to a fraction of the fans that you have in the stands, even at 15% or whatever we have right now. So there's nothing you can do about it. They're gonna fine Kentucky if that happened.
Yes.
And then you just move on. You take your fine, you take your win over your number one team in the country, and then you move on.
Speaking of fines, it's going to be interesting to see if the ACC fines Dabo because his mask was down pretty much the entire game.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire game it was down. And with the exception when a referee, he would want to yell at a referee. I think they would say something to him, and he would put it up immediately. And then, of course, it'd be right back down.
Yeah.
It was down the entire game, I'm telling you right now.
Right.
But I just feel like if that happened at Kentucky, I think that the officials at Kentucky would say, listen, before the game starts, we're going to send out, listen, people, we are not going to celebrate. And here are the reasons why you will be arrested if you come onto the field. I think there's a way you could have handled
that. Yeah, right, though. You're not going to arrest all those people. You might get a couple here and there, but the rest of them are going to be like going around middle fingers up in the air.
You're probably right. So I don't know. I'm just trying to figure a way. How could you have handled this ahead of time?
You can't.
To keep it from happening.
You can encourage people not to do it, but at the end of the day, people are going to do what they do.
On the other hand, the student body is getting tested anyway, constantly. I know they are at Tulane, where my son goes to school, and I know they are at UK. So it's just like, okay, if they're tested, hopefully they're all negative and nothing will happen. So hopefully that's the case. So, all right, let's go ahead and take our first break. If you'd like, give us a call, 502-571-1080, or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cats.
Now back to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
I hate to tell you, I don't think I've ever heard the start of that song. I'm like, what song are you playing right now?
Well, you know, there was different variations of the Jeopardy theme throughout the however many years it's been on the air. How long has that been on? 40 years?
Since 1984, I believe.
Close. Yeah,
something like that. Well, I mean, with Alex Trebek, I mean, it's another guy had it before him, but it's really a sad day. I mean, I really liked. I was not a huge Jeopardy fan because
you could never get the answers right.
Exactly. I couldn't.
Well, you could get the answers, you could never get the questions.
But I certainly. There you go. I got the answers. But listen, I certainly love the guy. I mean, he seemed like a genuine guy. And 80 years old, he did not even come close to looking 80 years old.
He looked great to me even when he was battling cancer, you know, this past year or so. But, yeah, that's a very, very big loss. And, you know, it's sad, of course. But, it was a piece of my childhood again. You know, going back to being a kid, I can always remember my grandparents would always watch.
Oh, would they
Wheel
really?
Of Fortune, and then Jeopardy, of course, came on right after that. So
were your grandparents more of a Pat Sajak fan or a Chuck Woolery fan?
Oh.
Because you know Chuck Woolery is from, I think, around the Paducah area, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. He's gone off the political deep end, though, recently, hasn't he?
Yes, he has.
I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm a Pat Sajak guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I probably love Chuck Woolery just because he's from Kentucky.
But really, I'm a Bob Barker guy.
All right,
we're talking about the big three game hosts of all time. Bob Barker, Pat Sajak, Alex Trebek.
Yes.
I was always a Bob Barker guy.
Yeah. I think Bob Barker is clearly a lot higher than everybody else in popularity. And maybe that's coming down a little bit since he's been off. How long has he been off the air now?
Ooh, since like 2006 or 7.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Did you know that Pat Sajak was bilingual?
No.
He spoke French because he's from Canada, and his mom spoke French. So
Pat Sajak or Alex Trebek?
Alex Trebek.
You said Pat Sajak.
Oh, I'm sorry. Alex Trebek. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you know Alex Trebek was bilingual?
I did not know that.
Okay, yeah. And he used to do a couple of TV shows in French.
So you're saying we could have Jeopardy.
Yes.
In Francais, in French.
Exactly. Yeah, very good on the Francais.
Well, thank you.
Did you
I'm bilingual myself, too.
Yeah, you speak Mount Washington in English. Is that correct?
Yeah, you speak Prospect with your with your pinky sticking out.
All right, that's enough.
Olivia, would you get me my glass of tea,
Olivia?
Please?
Who the heck is Olivia?
I feel like that's your housekeeper's name. Madame Olivia, would you get my tea, please?
Did you know that...
There's a bit of dust over here. Would you mind sweeping it up?
Alex Trebek, did you know he used to own a racehorse farm?
Didn't know that.
He actually owned a thoroughbred and was a huge fan of thoroughbred racing. He owned that, and then he considered at one time when he was younger that he might become a priest. I thought those were pretty cool.
Yeah, all kinds of Alex Trebek.
Exactly.
Facts that I didn't know this morning.
Yeah, yeah. So there you go. All right, let's go to the phone lines, 502-571-1080. Who's up first?
Nancy.
Nancy, how you doing?
Hey, Michael, how are you? I called to say thanks because I forgot that the Clemson-Notre Dame game was on Saturday night, so I turned it over because you put something out on Facebook about Trevor Lawrence being there.
Yes.
But anyway, I never cheer for Notre Dame. But I had to say, I was cheering for him because I'm tired of Clemson being the top. It's getting old.
Yeah, and listen, I'm with you there, too. And what did you think of Trevor Lawrence being on the field?
Well, so we had that little discussion with some friends, and they said, oh, well, supposedly he tested negative 2 or 3 times, so it's okay for him to be on the field. I don't know if I believe all that. And I agree with Dabo Sweeney on what you said about him because he did not have his mask on. It's ridiculous.
No, it isn't. Good to hear from you, Nancy. I appreciate the phone call. But Shannon,
I'm sorry, I cut her off.
She had one more thing. Okay, Nancy, call back, and I'll let you come back on. But I apologize. I thought that was it. So let's talk about this, Shannon. So Saturday night, supposedly I didn't see it, but and of course they were talking about throughout the game, Clemson and Notre Dame, that Dabo Sweeney gave the reasoning why that Trevor Lawrence was allowed to be on the field.
If he could be on the field, why can't you play?
See, that's my entire point right there. So right? I understand people are saying, Michael, did you not hear what they said? They've only said it thousands of times on the broadcast. It doesn't matter how many times they said it. Here's the difference. If you're allowed to be on the field, therefore you're allowed to play. So why isn't he playing?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if it's that bad, then he shouldn't even be out there, period.
Right.
If you're okay to be on the sideline, you should be able to play.
Right. Exactly.
So at some point, common sense has to kick in here.
It does. And all of a sudden, guess what? Oh, by the way, he's all clear. He's ready to play again. It's like, what? What are you talking about? So everybody else that's normal out there, we have to sit out of the community, out of anywhere for 14 days. But all of a sudden, coaches, because Nick Saban was able to do this, as well as players, can get multiple tests, and it's okay. He's been tested 2 or 3 times now. Everything's okay. It's like, well, what about me? I'm going to go get tested a bunch of times, too, and say the exact same thing.
Yeah, same thing for me with high school football getting pushed back a week.
Yes.
Pushed back for what?
Yeah.
What's going to happen? What is going to happen in a week? You know what could happen in a week? The cases go higher, and then what are you going to do? You're going to cancel the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't understand what waiting is going to do.
Nothing. It's going to do absolutely nothing except make them feel better, and hopefully that somebody that has it seriously and unfortunately loses their life, they get lawyered up. And that's what everybody's worried about. They're not worried about the actual cases spreading. They're worried about being sued, which I think is ridiculous. And maybe I'm taking a little too far, but I don't feel like I am, Shannon.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get what's going to happen in a week. It's going to make any difference.
So if you were the Notre Dame athletic director, would you be happy knowing there is a player that's not allowed to play that has had COVID and tested positive the last week? Would you be happy he's over there? I would be taking everything I can to say, listen, Clemson, I'm sorry, your team can come here, but that player is not allowed to be on our field.
I wouldn't want him out there either. I mean, if he's not good enough to play, he shouldn't be on the field.
Exactly.
On the sideline or anywhere.
Exactly. And they let him fly up on the airplane and everything else. I hope he is negative, and I hope he's okay from all of this. But I have a real problem with it, and you cannot explain it to me enough. I know for the fact that he had it, and now all of a sudden he doesn't.
Yep.
So and if there's a reason he can't play, guess what? There's a reason he can't be on the field. So 502-571-1080 if you want to give us a call or tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cat.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
Who's this?
Foo Fighters.
Is it Foo Fighters? Okay, yeah. You know, they were on Saturday Night Live, and I couldn't stay up to watch them. A lot of people were really complaining that the Notre Dame-Clemson game went to overtime and took away from Saturday Night Live. And I don't know, because you got to watch the news first, and then SNL came on a little later. But I missed them. Did you stay up for it?
No, I didn't even know they were on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle was the host, and Foo Fighters were the band.
That's cool. So,
yeah, I was bummed about this.
And now I've got to go back and watch it.
I know. We definitely need to.
I saw the beginning of it. I saw, you know, Jim Carrey does such a great job doing Joe Biden.
Yes, he does.
I mean, it's uncanny. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. The other part that I was really, and ABC did a great job. I know I'm regressing a little, but ABC did a great job last night having a nice tribute to Alex Trebek, and they were showing Will Ferrell playing him on SNL, which was one of the funniest things, I think. But you're right. The whole Joe Biden and watching them with Trump, and it is funny, and he's done just a phenomenal job. So, all right, well, let's go to the phone lines, 502-571-1080. We haven't even talked about UK Vanderbilt. I promise you, Shannon.
I've been wanting to talk about it since we started the show, and I go, let's talk Kentucky Vandy. You go, okay, we'll do it next segment. And then we get to the second segment. I go, let's talk UK Vandy. Oh, we'll talk about it next segment. So now we're in the third segment of the show. We still haven't mentioned Kentucky Vandy.
All right, well, let's go to the phone lines first. Who's up?
Todd.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Good morning. Hey. So I'm going to poke the bear a little bit. We know the one player for Clemson had tested positive for the corona. So what about all the people that stormed the field and possible exposures? What is the fine for that? Like, there's a normal fine if you, like, storm the field just in non-pandemic times. What's going to happen now with Notre Dame? And is that intrigued me. Like, they're the ones that kind of said, hey, we're finished with our fall semester before Thanksgiving because of the pandemic, and a lot of schools followed suit. So I just thought it was almost comical. I shouldn't say comical. I guess almost ironic that happened at that school. So, and with Vandy and Kentucky, I'll make sure we talk about it. I think Vandy is one of those thorns in our sides every year at football time. We have that unsettling feeling in our stomach as a Kentucky fan, like, oh, we always kind of struggle. And being this year, we're struggling, and now we have Vandy.
Yeah, I'm with you right there, and I appreciate the phone call, Todd. You bring up a great point. And usually, Shannon, it always feels like we struggle after a bye week. You think we would be getting better, but there are times that coming off a bye week, we're dead, and we're really not ready to play or anything, but it's kind of felt that way in a few games this year. It felt that way with Missouri. We just didn't want to show up to Columbia. I mean, we the defense really played well against Georgia. I mean, look how many points that Georgia scored on or Georgia scored on Florida. So you think, okay, you know, our defense looks good. If we had any semblance of an offense, no telling what kind of team this UK team could be.
Yeah, this is, again, I go back to the Missouri game, the Kentucky-Missouri game.
Yeah.
That was the biggest disappointment of the season for me so far this year. It really was. I feel like if you win that game and then you take care of business against the teams that we think they will, right? You got South Carolina and Vanderbilt. You finish 6-6, or 5-5, sorry. And I think that's a good season. But now, yes. I mean, unless we pull off some sort of miracle win over Alabama, and then we just saw how great Florida looked this past weekend.
Right.
I mean, that looks less and less likely, like we're going to be able to beat Florida. You still finish under 500. And I think that Missouri game is going to be, at the end of the year, the one that you should have won. The one game,
and Ole Miss too.
Well, I mean, Ole Miss is one thing. They were still Ole Miss was.
They've only won one game, I believe, haven't they? Or I don't even know who they played this weekend. Before the weekend, they had only won one game. That one game was against Kentucky.
Yeah, I mean that one too. But again, you go back and look at the Missouri game. I think that's the one that they really should have won.
Yeah,
Ole Miss game was a shootout, right?
Yes, it was. Especially
42-41.
Okay, so especially we missed a field goal. We missed all kinds of stuff that game. And we should have won that one without any doubt. So there's your two more games right there. So we should be sitting right now with four wins. But you're coming off Tennessee, a huge win. First time we won down there since 1984 at Neyland Stadium. And then we come and just the tale of two weekends. I still, for the life of me, don't understand how we could have so much energy and so much hope after that Tennessee game to go and just have a dud. And now I'm with Todd right now. You know, we are a 17-point favorite over Vanderbilt.
Yep.
That probably scares me more than anything.
Well,
else.
Half of Vanderbilt has opted out for the season. I mean, Denny Clark's
yeah.
out. I mean, a lot of the guys have opted out, and they really haven't. They were competitive their first game of the year against Texas A&M.
Yes.
I think they lost that one by less than a touchdown. That was a competitive
game. It wasn't
much.
Yeah, and Derek Mason puts out that tweet, we are back.
Yeah. Then after that, they get blown out against LSU and South Carolina back-to-back. Got blown out by Mississippi. I think they were somewhat competitive against Mississippi State. But point being, they haven't won a game all year. Kentucky should blow this team out.
They should, and hopefully they do. Hopefully we find an offense. I defensively, I feel pretty confident. I mean, I really do, and I love that the fact that there's all kinds of accolades coming down for the football team. So I love the fact that they're getting a lot of attention, and one of them is came out this past weekend. Rivals ranked the top breakout defenders in the SEC. And UK's junior linebacker, Jamin Davis, tops the list. I mean, that to me is just unbelievable. And what a season Jamin has had. He's accounted, are you ready for this? He has accounted for 58 tackles this season, and second overall in the SEC. Plus accounts for two interceptions this year and one for a pick six.
Yeah, I mean, the defense has really been tremendous the entire season with the exception of, I guess the Ole Miss game, you give up 42 points against them. But since then, I mean, they've been great, and they've given this team every chance to win the game. I mean, even against Georgia. I mean, you give up 14 points to Georgia. That's pretty
good. And that's all.
Good. Yeah.
That is it. So I know it's a walk-on quarterback out of Bennett with Georgia. But, again, he was doing pretty well this entire season. So and then he goes and plays against Florida up in Jacksonville, and none of them perform.
Yeah, but for the offense, I mean, this is a good chance to reset, come back out, have a huge offensive game against Vanderbilt, and then, well, whatever happens against Alabama happens. But I mean, you got to have a big comeback game here, you know, coming off of, you know, the Georgia game where you score 3 points and everybody's talking about fire Eddie Grant, or, you know, Eddie Grant's not doing his job. Everybody complaining about the quarterback situation. This is the chance to come back and get people excited again before they play Alabama.
But I know you didn't see it because you were in Lexington, but did you hear about that Liberty Virginia Tech game?
I didn't.
So, you know, Liberty ranked 25th in the country. I think it's the first time they've ever been ranked. And so it's at the end of the game. Score is tied. Liberty is getting ready to, and this was in Blacksburg, Liberty is getting ready to kick a field goal to win the game. Well, they kick it. Virginia Tech's defense or special teams blocks it and runs it back for a touchdown to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Game's over with. Well, Virginia Tech coaching staff called a timeout.
Oh.
Yes. So now everything is reset for Liberty gets to kick the ball. It goes through the goalpost as time is going out, and Liberty ends up winning the game.
How did they not blow that dead, though, with the timeout?
Huh?
How did the refs not blow that dead?
Evidently, one ref was, and the other ones weren't. The other officials didn't see it happening on the sidelines.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are you a believer in trying to freeze the field goal kicker?
Not really.
It seems like nine times out of ten, it never works.
Yeah. A lot of times, especially at the pro level, you see it all the time. A coach will call a timeout. Kicker makes the field goal. They wait a minute or two. We go back. Kicker makes the field goal again. You know,
exactly.
So I don't really think there's any point in that.
Okay.
I'm sure there's stats that would prove otherwise. I'm not sure, but it seems like more times than not, when I'm watching a game and they try to freeze the kicker, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Well, kind of like how it seems like teams are now going for it on fourth down now, be it college or NFL, because statistically it says if you're on inside your opponent's 40-yard line and it's fourth down, you end up going for it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Although it didn't work for my Bucks last night. Man, the Bucks were just horrible last night.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, it was just ugly from the get-go. So let's talk about this before we take our last break. There's only one place to go. If you're in need and you struggle from three things, you struggle from pain, anxiety, and sleep. And guess what? I'm 3 for 3 on all of those. But what's helped me the most recently has been Cornbread Hemp, cornbreadhemp.com. Go check them out at cornbreadhemp.com. They got great prices for an organically made CBD oil. It's certified USDA organic, and they do a great job. Tell them why, Shannon.
Well, like you said, I mean, they are Kentucky proud, family-owned and operated. Right now, if you go to cornbreadhemp.com, as Michael mentioned, here is the coupon code. You know, last week you were trying to give out this one last week, which didn't work.
Okay, fine.
All right, so if you go to cornbreadhemp.com, you're going to get a free 500-milligram CBD lotion with any $50 purchase when you use the code STOCKING, STOCKING. Use promo code STOCKING at cornbreadhemp.com.
Here we go. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. We come back. We got a few more things we want to talk about, and you can call me at 502-571-1080, or you can tweet me, which I got a few tweets I got to get to because obviously I messed up with Chuck Woolery. He's from Ashland. He's not from Paducah. I thought he was from Western Kentucky. I don't know why I thought that. So there you go. So we'll be right back. This is Just the Cats. Shut up.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
502-571-1080. If you want to give us a call, or you can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. So there is a letter, which I never knew this story until this morning. There is a letter that was written to a gentleman in Lexington, Kentucky back in 1971, and it was sent to Tom Bonfield in Lexington, and it was from John Lennon. And evidently, John Lennon was blasting him because this guy wrote a letter to John saying, to John Lennon, after a Beatles album came out, he interpreted it as being kind of a letter that, or an album that was full of desperation and unrest.
Was it after I Am the Walrus came out?
It might have been. I don't know.
By the way, were you a pre-drug Beatle fan or a on-drug Beatle fan?
Gosh.
See, I'm an on-drugs Beatle fan. Like when they were doing the psychedelic stuff like I Am the Walrus.
Yes.
That was my favorite, that was my favorite era of Beatles.
Okay.
When they were all tripped out.
Okay.
Which one do you like? You like the trippy stuff or no?
I'm not much of a Beatles fan.
Oh, my God.
I'm not.
Oh, I ought to just end the show right now.
You probably should. And I know I am in the very big minority as far as that goes. I like John Lennon. I like John Lennon. I like George Harrison. I like Ringo Starr. I can't stand Paul McCartney.
What do you have against Paul McCartney?
If you play that stinking... I already heard it this weekend because my son was playing Christmas music in the car.
Yeah.
And that ridiculous Christmas song that Paul McCartney wrote that I can't stand and you love. And it's just like, please don't play that. I know you're going to, but
well,
sorry you even mentioned it. But this is kind of interesting, though. This guy wrote a letter to John Lennon, and John Lennon responded to him. And he's like, oh, cool, John Lennon wrote me a letter. Well, it wasn't a very nice letter, because this guy was saying, listen, let me tell you about Christianity, which I think is a great thing to do. John Lennon never liked Christianity. He said, listen, brother, why don't you Jesus freaks get off people's backs? It's like, wow. This letter is getting ready to be auctioned off. Now, it hasn't been owned by the guy in Lexington, Tom Bonfield, and sometimes somebody else that collects letters owns it. and they are predicting it's going to be auctioned off. A letter and a box of matches that he sent, that John Lennon sent along with the letter and the envelope. They think it's going to be sold for around $25,000 to $35,000.
Wow. So Lennon not only sent a letter, he sent a box of matches.
A matches, yes.
Why would he do that?
He said, "Here's you make or do something with this." So I don't remember what the reason was that he sent the box of matches, but I'm trying to read it real quickly.
See,
but,
drugs.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
That's what it was.
Okay, it was the album Imagine. So you tell me, was that pre-drug or drug?
Oh, he was drugged out by then.
It felt like a feeling of hopelessness to him. So, and that's why he wrote that letter. So I thought that was very nice. Listen, there's not hopelessness in this world. Here's why. And John Lennon didn't like that. So there you go. All right. So over the weekend, the volleyball team, the number two ranked UK volleyball team. I got to talk about them because I love Craig Skinner. And I love him so much, I don't know his first name.
Yeah.
So Craig Skinner, and they swept Auburn over the weekend. Number two in the country, Shannon. I'm excited for him.
Do we say we're a volleyball school now? You know?
Absolutely.
Hey.
I mean, we're a volleyball rifle. We're hopefully one of these days a bass fishing school. I think it's great. What do you think about the big news on Friday? Jack Givens is going to be joining the UK Sports Network on the pregames for basketball.
That'll be good. Yeah, looking forward to hearing Jack's insight before every game.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Good for
he's
Jack.
Going to be replacing Rex Chapman. So he's going to be taking over and doing the pregame with Dave Baker. Now, Rex Chapman's not leaving altogether. They got something else going on that JMI is putting on for him. Some kind of new media content, whatever that means. Now, you know, Rex has gotten a lot of criticism lately with his political views, and I don't have any idea if that had anything to do with it or not, but you kind of got to have a feeling somewhat that maybe JMI is a little concerned about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm like you. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I don't think it helped anything.
No, didn't help. Yeah.
Social media can get you in trouble, man.
It is, and that's the one rule that I have. When we come on this show, I think I've talked about once or twice, and that's it. I don't like talking politics, because especially in today's age, because people are so you're either on my side or you're not. So why even talk about
it
at
all? Yeah, I don't see any point in dividing your fan base, your listeners.
No.
Why do that?
No.
We were trying to bring people together
politics.
Here and talk about
right.
UK and silly topics that people can all like.
Yeah.
I think when you talk politics, you start dividing your fan base and turning people
very
off.
So. But I'm excited about Jack Givens. I think Jack will do a great job. We'll have to have him on and talk about him going to be doing this and see how excited he is about this. Good news for UK football. Quinton Bohanna announced on Friday. He tweeted out, I'm back. And you got to feel good about that. Even though the defense is playing really good, you still want your – and he's definitely one of the leaders on the defensive side.
Yeah.
So you feel good about Quinton Bohanna being back, obviously,
yeah.
Shannon.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to have him back. And, you know, this is a week where necessarily I don't think they're going to need him. But, you know, it just gives you that little sense of security against a team like Vanderbilt, that just to have the confidence to know you're going to be able to bounce back and have a big win this upcoming weekend. And, again,
right,
I think it goes back to the offense. So I think this is a game that's going to put
break.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on the offense to go out there, and I think that fans want to see big numbers offensively this year or this week coming up.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is a game clearly. When we were picked, the spread is 17. As I said a little earlier, and okay, you know what? Just throw everything out of the book. Let's just throw the ball constantly down the field. That's the one thing. If you watch the Clemson-Notre Dame game, if you watch the Georgia-Florida game, these great teams are doing what, Shannon? They are throwing the ball down the field.
Yet they have receivers who are catching the ball and making the plays.
You're right about that. But you know what? Somehow, let's get the freshmen in there. If they're not catching it, guess what? Throw it to them again until they start catching it. I'm not saying throw it constantly, but we've got to figure a way, instead of it just being Josh Ali the entire time, guess what? Throw it to Justin Riggs. Throw it to one of the other tight ends, Upton. Throw it to anybody that's going to catch the ball. Get Kavassier Smoke if he's going to be playing, hopefully, sometime soon. Throw it to one of the running backs. See if A.J. Rose can get down the field a little bit and catch the ball.
Yeah.
We have got to throw the ball vertically, not horizontally.
I feel like this is a weekend, too, where you can afford to have a few mistakes, and you can afford to open up the playbook and get creative and see what works and what doesn't and get ready for Alabama the weekend after that.
Instead, we're going to be probably a 20-some-odd point not favored team for the next weekend. So anyway, hey, tomorrow I want to talk about some basketball. Jimmy Dykes was at a practice, and he was just really complimenting up and down this basketball team. Tell me if that's good or bad. It gets me excited, but I'm trying not to get too terribly excited, Shannon.
Why not? Get excited. Basketball season's coming up.
I know it. I'm looking forward to it. All right, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on Just the Cats. Go check the website out. Check out some gear on Just the Cats, too. JustTheCats.com. Have a great day.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.